New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores. Making the switch is easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift.
All right. Everything is recording. Good to go. You good, my brother?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great, man. Welcome to the Dear Son Show. We have meaningful conversations about life through the lens of fatherhood. For fathers, those with fathers, and the fatherless. Nobody's left out. These are the conversations we want our sons to access as they grow through life and mentor them in, so no topics are off limits. Today, I have a son, so he qualifies. Repeat guest. He's been on the show two times, I believe, now. One as a primary guest, and then he was part of a special event that we did. But we got Forrest Laurent. Welcome back to the show. How are you, my brother?
Man, I'm good. Thanks for welcoming and having me back. Thank you. I'm doing good, though.
Good. It's been a minute, man. I think the last time we sat down one-on-one, I don't know if it was 22 or early 23. I think it was late 22.
It was around there because it's been almost a year. Oh, it's been a year and some change.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. So now at the time of this recording, this is November, and this will go out in 2024. So I don't mind. Sometimes I don't like dating it because I don't know when stuff is going to go out.
Yeah.
But a lot of time has transpired since then. I kind of want to catch up, man. But what's going on with you on a surface level, let's talk about that. How you been? You know, how's your week been?
Week has been good. Thanksgiving just passed. You know, I'm not, when it comes to proximity, I'm not close to my family. They're in Louisiana. But, you know, around this time is always tough because of the passing of my grandfather that happened on my birthday, December 18th.
How long ago?
This is about, I want to say, at this point, about six.
Okay.
6 years ago, yeah. That was tough. And around this time, there was a lot of death at a certain point. So that coupled with my family not being near me or me not being near them, it's always hard around this time of year. But I'm good, though.
Dope.
You know, I'm at peace. I'm good.
Dope, man.
Yeah.
It's been a good week for me so far, man, since we've last talked. And I mean, we've talked since we've recorded. I mean, it's not like we're strangers or estranged by any stretch.
Right.
But I've had some health challenges, and I reference it frequently on the show just to keep people abreast and actually to keep me motivated. I like to keep a positive mindset about it, but learn some things about me, learn some things about my family history that have changed the way that I approach life now with, you know, with my family, especially my sons. Things related to men's health. And, you know, God is still in control. He's still on the throne. So I ultimately trust in him to see me through. But this has been a good week. Some days aren't great. But, you know, I am upbeat today. I feel good. I'm glad we're doing the show.
Can I ask you a question?
Let's get to it.
So as the head of a household, and you're building this incredible lineage that I see, you know, to hear you say some days are better than others, right? How do you, or who is there, not by name, but is there someone there that's lifting you up, or is it something where you have that inner conviction and that inner drive to say, you know what, if I don't do it, it won't get done? Like, which is it?
It's more of one less than the other. Okay. I come from a very disciplined Christian family.
Okay.
And though I haven't maintained the discipline as I was taught, some things don't leave. Some things just stick with you. So, you know, I got a praying mother, praying father, praying, you know, in their churches, praying to my home church is praying. I understand that I'm on a prayer list. I'm on a, you know, brought up on a prayer line on a regular basis. Same thing with my sister. Anybody that kind of knows, that's anybody of faith, adds me to that circle. Mm-hmm. So I know that I'm covered in prayer there. The inner conviction you were just talking about more recently than earlier this year. Yeah. Like it's starting to, I was really having some doubts, right? Because I was really, and I'm still not sure exactly what is the root of the challenges are. But I think, you know, I've said enough that it's in God's hands and now I'm actually practicing that. Mm. So it's two different things, right? You say something that's been said for so long or you've heard it and, you know, it's the thing to do. But faith isn't a real thing until it's tested. So, you know, we all have opinions about what we would or wouldn't do in whatever circumstances, such circumstances presented. And then life, I've said it before, your lens through life kind of dictates how you progress or cower.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's get to you, man. What's been going on since, let's just call it a year and a half. You, at that time, I want to say your influencer life was taking off, or I don't want to say peaking. I don't want to say this peak yet, period, but it was significant. And, we had some conversations. I can't remember if they actually made the content or not, but about how you felt about that responsibility and how it impacted your life. And now you've had some time to sit, deal, adjust. What's going on in that world?
A lot. The trajectory of my content of me as a man dramatically changed. It did. I didn't, and I couldn't have anticipated how much it was going to change. You know, my outlook on life, my character, how much I'd be tested, like you said. You know, so this journey has been extremely difficult. Extremely difficult. I think at first I was on this ride of, man, this is really amazing that people legitimately trust me and look to me for encouragement, for words of affirmation, you know.
For guidance, I've seen it.
Yeah. It's and I've always been that person that never thought I was good enough to ever lead anybody in any way, shape, or form. So when that began to happen, it took me on this euphoric ride of, man, like, this is really happening. You know, don't squander it. Don't mess it up. And remember who put you here. That was always my thing. But then the other side of that coin came. The other side being, man, now I'm realizing that not everyone thinks how I think. I'm realizing that there are people who they want to remain in a perpetual state of victimhood. There's people that want to tear down anyone that's trying to bring healing. They want to be combative when a message, just because it's tough to receive. So my trajectory kind of has been doing this now. It's been like, I'm trying to navigate through this minefield of criticism, of complacency in people. And it took a toll on me. It did. So I'm still good. You know, I'm all right. But there has been a shift in the content, and how I handle things and people. There has been a shift. 100%.
Has it impacted, the core of your message, or maybe just your delivery, or some of both?
Some of both.
Okay.
Some of both. Whereas at first I was very, very patient, careful, and articulate in a way, or I'm sorry, meticulous, and, you know, with how I deliver my message, because I'm big on your message being palatable. You know, I've always said that. Now it's more so, okay, make it palatable, but don't dilute the truth at the same time. And there is a such thing as making something so palatable that the truth becomes diluted. And I think I was falling into that category.
Just out of caution.
I'm sorry?
Just out of caution of how you deliver it.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So how has it grown you as a person? Because that's one thing to grow in anonymity. But having a public facing persona where people now recognize you, right? Yeah. yeah. not only the minute and 30 seconds or the 2 minutes on the 9x16 screen, it's I ran into him and who is this person really?
Yeah.
What's that life like?
Man, it's actually no different than online. It's no different than online. Like when people see me, it's interesting. They're, because people, it happens one of two ways. People will either see me in public and not say anything, but then send me a DM. Like, hey, did you have on a white shirt at the gas station? And I'm like, yeah.
Weird. Yeah,
yeah, like you could have just spoke. And then there's other people that come up to me and they speak,
yeah.
you know, and it's all love and respect. And they're like, bro, you really like that in real life. You're really cool in real life. Like, yeah, I don't bite.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a regular person just like you. So that part of it is always a bit, you know, a bit funny to me. But yeah, man, it's changed me though. It really has. In ways that, you know.
One of the main takeaways for me from our last conversation, when we were talking about your father, and I'd like for you to kind of recap that relationship, where it is today, if it's different or if it's the same as it was. But you said you learned from your father poise. Either learn from him how to be poised, or something about him pointed to the importance of poise, especially for a young Black man, any Black man. Men, period, but we were talking in the context of Black men. And I wonder how that has impacted this life that we were just talking about.
Yeah. To recap, my father is one of the most poised men and calm men I've ever known. And I mean at any time of my life. He's always been calm, poised, and mild mannered.
Mm-hmm.
And that definitely is within me as well. And so that relationship is no different than it was a year and a half ago. It's no different. Still don't really know where he is. I don't know what he's doing. I don't know if he's okay. That's the honest truth. You know, there's not much difference.
Is there not? And if I'm when I'm prodding too far, then
no, you're good. You're good.
Is the effort to know different than it was a year and a half ago? Like what is the roadblock to not having information about him?
Is the effort to know the same? No, I think whereas before I was very optimistic about rekindling that father son connection. Now it's one of those things that, you know, I pray for him and I keep that. Here's the thing, Derek. What I don't want is for me to build resentment for him.
Sure.
Because I do believe in my heart of hearts that one day we'll cross paths again
mm-hmm.
in person or even just talking on the phone. And what I don't want is the enemy to plant seeds in my mind so that when that meeting happens, mm-hmm. I can't see it for what it is. It's a blessing to see my father alive, well, or however I see him, it's a blessing. I'm not going to be able to see that and really embrace that moment if I've been festering in anger or anguish for the last year and a half. So
yeah.
While the intentionality to reach out is not there anymore, I'm not upset. I'm not mad about that.
Right.
In fact, I'm being very intentional about preserving in my mind, my memory of my father, because that's what the enemy wants. He wants to divide us. He wants to separate. And then while we're separated, he wants to conquer us like that.
Right.
And that's what I think happens a lot of times to family that has issues. We don't know how to handle each other when things are not going how we want. So
speaking of family, like where are you in the, you know, we always talk about a woman's there's always a reference to a woman's biological clock. And, you know, the older or the more mature, a woman gets is there's likely to be more inquiries about when a family, why not a family? And ultimately that's nobody's business, but that woman's. I don't think we see as much interest or concern as men. But I want to ask you, where are you? Do you have an internal clock that you're working to, or that gives you signs that give you pause about where am I with? What do I want out of life when it comes to family?
No, I don't have internal clock. I'm being real with you. I don't consider myself running out of time.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I don't want to see it like that. And I might sound naive or, you know, what have you, but the reason I don't want to see it as though I have a clock is because I know deep down that I know how God operates, and God has no clock. He really mm-hmm. doesn't. And as long as I'm in alignment and in purpose, then it can happen in a month. It can happen in a year, but I believe it will happen. Mm-hmm. So if I begin to transition my thinking towards the glass being half empty, then that'll happen across the board. You know, you have to keep you have to keep uniformity with your faith and with your convictions and with what you believe across the board. The minute you begin to slack in any area, and that's a tough area because a lot of men battle with that every day. Like, it's a constant thing on our minds. Like, I'm 33, no children, like not married. Like, what's gonna happen?
Mm-hmm.
You know. But yeah, I believe in making sure that you keep your mind in check. Like with my father and then with this situation.
Yeah. How did on a I guess a more shallow level, when it comes to dealing with opposite sex, I know there's interest.
Oh yeah, of course.
How do you manage all of it? Right? Being who you are online, being who you are in real life, managing temptations that may or may not have been as common before.
Mm-hmm.
Your online presence took off. And I don't know. Maybe you always been the man. Maybe you always been the man. I don't know. Or had that attraction, you know, that draw for women. I don't know. But how do you navigate that?
It's tough. It's tough. I'm not going to lie to you. It's tough. I'd be lying if I sat right here and said, oh, I'm good. I don't do it. No, it's tough. Know. It's tough.
Like we've had other conversations. That's why.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's tough. It's tough when I'm on live and I get a DM. Can I speak blunt? Okay, because I don't want to, you know, it's tough when I'm on live and I get a DM with a girl playing with herself. It's tough when I'm on live and I get a DM with a girl showing me her booty hole with the finger in it. You know, it's tough when that happens.
Booty hole's brown.
And the thing is this, I can say no 364 days out of the year. But on that 365th day, if I say yes, all that gets tossed out.
Yeah.
In the eyes of everybody else. So it's very difficult to keep myself in check. Especially on them lonely nights, on those nights where I need company or I might want company or whatever the case is. But I always think back to what happened at the mega church when mm-hmm. I had that momentary, you know, that moment of weakness
mm-hmm.
and I lost everything. Not only did I lose everything, I got ostracized. I got kicked to the side because, you know, what that taught me at that stage in my life is people are unforgiving.
Right.
A person is wise, you know, if you can get them and talk to them and sit them down and have a conversation. But people with the mob mentality nowadays and the outrage culture, if something starts to go and a snowball starts to roll, there's no stopping it. So I think that fear keeps me in line, and just, you know, the general respect I have for my platform, it keeps me in line. But it's tough, 100%.
Do those DMs cause you to think differently about women in general? Are they compartmentalized to a specific opportunist type of...
No, I don't think that. I think the younger Forrest would definitely.
Okay.
But the Forrest I am now, you know, I don't pay it any mind. I really don't.
Hmm.
It's there. And I know deep down, like, I've seen vagina before. I've seen a naked body before.
Right.
So, I mean, you're not showing me anything that's going to, like, oh, my God, it's not like that. But I would be lying if I said, you know, it's easy, because it's not.
Right.
It's not. The difficulty doesn't come when I see the DM comes through. The difficulty is when I'm having a day where I'm like, you know what? My flesh activated, bro. I wanna pin something to the cross.
And it's
like
still,
I wanna put some wine in my system and put my meat somewhere else. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Though it's on those nights where I'm like, man, them DMs is sitting right there. But that's why I delete them.
That's what I said, it's in the files. That's why I delete them. Yeah.
So people ask all the time, why do you delete DMs? That's why.
Gotcha.
You know, yeah.
So let's talk about what the mission of your platform mm-hmm. is.
Yeah. The mission is still being formed as I'm going. I think when I first started, the whole point was to express the things that I had been through.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I, you know, began to see that people legitimately have the same kind of struggles that I had, it was a platform where we can all come together and find common ground and what we need to move forward with, and the healing and the restoration, things like that. And then it transformed from that into, okay, let's talk about everything. Let's talk about the good, the bad, not just healing, but what actually got you into that position to begin with.
Mm.
So now we're going from talking about healing to better decision-making. We're talking about depression. We're talking about love and intimacy, different things like that. So the platform is constantly changing. And that's something I still have not been able to pin down yet as far as one central mission. But how it's operating right now is a full-fledged, you know, conversation machine. We have conversations about everything and nothing's off limits. So.
Yeah. Speaking of conversations, I saw your stitch with the tonight's conversation with a guy was talking about since they don't know.
Oh, Ace Metaphor.
And I like the conversation that platform garners. Now I don't agree with every position on it, but what, like how do you pick and choose when something's that meaningful to you to kind of go at?
When I see it damaging the overall morale of the people that I am invested in. I don't know Ace Metaphor.
Right.
Don't know the man, never met him. Probably never will meet him. I don't know, you know. But when I finally, because I actually just began to tap into his stuff the last month, because I heard his name, but I wasn't really, you know, my head was in the sand working. My head was buried working. Now that I'm looking around at everything that people are listening to and watching, it's like you have a platform of millions of people, right? And you're saying things that I believe he's one of those content creators that makes content specifically to either go viral or to garner likes.
Hmm.
Now, that's your prerogative. That's your business. But it can be very irresponsible if the message is connected to that methodology are dangerous and they're one-sided.
Mm.
So to him or to anyone like, you know, that posts that kind of content, it's like, you know, it's engagement, it's social media, it's what I'm doing to garner. And I get that 100%. But then there's another side of this where you have a responsibility. And I don't know if he understands that women legitimately walk away hanging on to his every word and living that stuff out.
Mm.
And when I saw the video that I responded to, I said, yeah, this is crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy work. Like roster dating in 2024 or in today's time is extremely dangerous. Extremely dangerous, but it's irresponsible.
Yeah.
So that's why I had that reaction.
Yeah, I can't imagine being in the game at this point.
You don't want to be.
I'm happily out of it.
Stay there.
In all facets. Also, you mentioned that your platform kind of shifts as you shift through life. You're talking about the ups and downs. Let's go through some of those times, man. I know from other conversations that we've had that, you know, 2024 hasn't been the kindest to either one of us. At times, and that's one way to look at it. I don't know if that's me shifting you to the glass half empty. But what are some of those highlighted moments of this year where you've noticed because of this thing in life, it's one of those platform shifting times in your life?
A lot of my exes had begun to come back around.
Crazy work saying a lot of my exes.
A lot of my exes began to come back around. I'm being honest with you. And I think those moments and those conversations definitely shifted things for me because these are not behind the scenes conversations. These conversations transpired on my live.
Your exes just popped up?
Popped up on my live on back-to-back days. One of them is someone that overlooked me for years. The other one is someone who I was trying to talk to and was pretty much playing me. And then made up a lie that she was hospitalized while being with another guy. And it came out she was lying because she came on my live in the second night of the back-to-back, the doubleheader, for lack of a better term. And I'm going through the story with her and she's like, oh, real quick, by the way, that whole thing was a joke. My brother knew it was a joke. The one that called you crying that I was almost dead. My mom, she knew about it, that it was a joke. It was a prank. Now this all came out on my live. All came out. So
How invested were you in her trying to gauge the hurt or the impact of that? Like somebody that would prank you in that manner.
So you're asking like what was her response to, or what was she?
Let me shape it back. Cause I was talking as I was forming it in my head. So how much did you care about her at that time for it to, you know, and that kind of helps me gauge the impact.
Are you asking at the time that it happened? Oh, I cared about her a lot. I cared about her a lot.
This wasn't just somebody you were.
No, this is someone that I legit have feelings for. Okay. Yeah. Like legit. I was actively trying to be with her.
I'm saying, hey, try to do better. Do better. Dead. You was dead. You had your brother in on it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a lot. It was a lot. And the reaction from the lab was they were just flabbergasted. They were, and this is probably the first time that people saw me lose my temper, not at her, because when she told me this, I laughed. I literally laughed. And I said, yo, you know what? You know, I still got love for you. I still respect you. I'm proud of you. Everything you said you wanted to do, you're doing it. Mm-hmm. God is in your corner, you know, because you're doing these things and you're beating the odds. Because she has not had the easiest life herself, and now she has a beautiful downtown apartment. She's doing it, so I'm very proud of her. And I told her all of that right after she said it was all a prank. She said, "Thank you for us. God bless you too." She jumped off the live. But I went off because, and this is how my platform is shifting. When she got off that live, other women were in the comments asking me, well, Forrest, what did you do to make her have to do that to you? When I saw that, it set me off. Mm. And in my mind, I was already drinking a little bit. I was having some wine. In my mind, I said, how dare you? Like, we literally just watched this woman say something that most men would crash out behind.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Derek, I called hospitals. I called emergency centers. I made like for days at a time. I was losing my mind because no one would pick up their phone. And then next thing I know, I see you on your Instagram with your new bust down wig and you're doing this and kids. And I'm like, was that night like a Matrix or something? Was that like a alternate reality? Like, I'm confused. And then when I did check up on you, you yelled at me. Like, it was like a legit, I just did not get it. And so now I have these people on my live, or not people, these women on my live, because they were women. It wasn't the men, it was the women. And they were still trying to establish, Forrest, what did you do wrong?
Hmm.
The devaluing of men is real. It's real. Like, we're dehumanized nowadays. Because you just saw me receive that news and not react. Like, I was good, y'all, I promise. But now you're trying to paint me in a negative light. You know, in a situation that legitimately did hurt me, I just responded to it well, but it hurt.
Yeah.
And I lost my temper. I lost my cool. And I'm not gonna lie, Derek, any woman that has something to say, I cammed them up and I destroyed them. Destroyed them. I wasn't rude to them, but you know how I made them feel this big for even going there with me after witnessing what they witnessed. But yeah, so to answer your question, you know, those experiences definitely shaped me this year with the exes. And I think that's where the shift in my content happened. Because after that night, I recognized, bro, these women, and when I say these women, I don't mean all, but the culture that we live in has legitimately dehumanized men. Dehumanized us.
You had to have done something wrong.
You've had to have done something wrong. So that's it.
You, and again, push the pause button when I'm
you good. You got anything, you good.
Since our last recording, you moved around a bit. Were you running from or to something?
Oh yeah, nah. That was just a living situations. You know, my family had lost some people, and then my mom had moved to Louisiana, needed some help completing the move.
Okay.
I needed to figure out what was next. And that's when I left to Houston, then came back, and then to Louisiana. So I was just, you know, just kind of bouncing around trying to figure out where I'm going to be planted. And that's all that was. I wasn't really running from anything or towards anything. It was just me trying to figure out what's next for me. And then when I figured out it was Dallas, you know, I've been here ever since.
So what is next?
Man, that's a good question.
What does it go from here? And all of this is not, these are not just platform questions. These are, the platform is so much a part of your life as I see it.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess they intertwine.
Yeah.
But like, where are you in life? We talked specifically about timing of family or marriage, but how do you assess where you are in life? How would you grade where you are in life if that's not too critical?
Nah. I would grade it as a C, average. Mm-hmm. Average. And I say that because I can legitimately hold myself accountable and say in 2024, I wasted a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
I allow myself to get comfortable in certain aspects of this journey, the podcasting journey of the social media space, of the influencer space. I allow my struggles to distract me. I allow the women to distract me. For those of y'all listening, I had dealt with women this year. Yeah, I wasn't completely single this whole year, and I dealt with them in a...
With the summer sizzle starting to fizzle, cooler heads are looking to lock in a wellness routine fit for the fall and beyond. Lucky for you, Ritual's high standards don't drop with the temperature. Fully committed to traceable science and sourcing, Ritual is shaking up the supplement industry with high-quality ingredients and scientifically developed formulas. With them, you know what you're taking, where it comes from, and why it's important. They've got every base covered, from their clinically backed women's 18-plus multivitamin to groundbreaking options like stress relief and sleep melatonin, which both use first-of-its-kind BioSeries technology designed to optimize formula delivery. And right now, for a limited time, get up to 40% off your first month at ritual.com/podcast.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores. Making the switch is easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift.
Very big way. Took some losses there. So I definitely fumbled some of this year. But the reason why it's not an F is because I have to give myself grace. And I have to understand that it's part of my journey. To go through these things and to make these mistakes, because nothing was done with the intentionality of fumbling. I genuinely believe that even though the decisions weren't the best at all times, I was just trying to make the best of what I thought I could do.
I got to press you a little bit because you have this aversion to platform dating
mm-hmm.
in 2024.
Yeah.
And your reference was you had some challenges with women.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're not mutually exclusive
yeah.
two things, but
yeah.
I'm inferring that maybe you dabbled a bit in roster dating, as we said, not platform, roster dating.
Okay.
Roster dating. How do you have challenges with multiple women in 1 year?
Well, my philosophy is one at a time. So when I say like I had challenges, it would literally be one at a time. It wasn't mm-hmm. me fumbling or keeping a roster in that regard. But I tried about three different times to take something from friendship stage to courtship stage. And it was a train wreck every time. Train wreck. It just didn't work out. Not to say anything bad about them, about those young ladies. You know, I still have a great amount of respect for them.
Mm-hmm.
I can't personally, as a human being, I can't be involved with someone or have interest in them. And then because it doesn't work out, I trash you. I can't do that. So I'll never say anything bad about them. They're wonderful women. It just didn't work out with us, mm-hmm. you know? So, but yeah, I tried three times, man. I tried three times. It wasn't simultaneously.
So what do you, yeah. what did you gain from? What is it? What are you taking to 2025 that maybe gives you more success?
That compatibility is deeper than people think.
Say more.
It's not just about the looks, the things on paper. It's not just about your preferences as far as height, weight, skin complexion, things like that. It's about your character. It's about where you're headed in life. Do we want the same things? Do we believe the same things? Do we believe in raising a child the same ways? All that is compatibility. And I think we don't have that conversation enough. It's mostly, are we in the Christian sphere, are we equally yoked?
Mm-hmm.
You know, can I see this word?
We all have the same definition to that.
Right. Even that, great point. Thank you. Are we equally yoked? Can I see this working out? The conversations, they're not fruitful as far as where we're headed together. Like, can this even work as far as what we believe we want, what we say we want? And I learned that the hard way. It's like, you can't just accept anything. There has to be compatibility there.
So you got to those conversations with one or all of those individuals in terms of like the more meaningful things in life. And I'm asking because, well, I was never single at 32, so I can't. I don't have a reference from at this point in my life, but I know at 22, in 3 months, I wasn't really concerned about if you thought the same way about raising a family. But did you get to those conversations? And if you got to those conversations, were they just not prepared for them, or you found that you were not just on different pages, but different books, different libraries?
It's the second one. Because even though we might have touched on those conversations, what ruptured me in those relationships was more so incompatibilities with our characters. We couldn't mesh that. And I've made this very clear, and I get killed for this sometimes, but I'm going to say it, and I'm going to say it every time. I don't require much from a woman. I really don't, Derek. I don't require much. I just ask for three things. Relationship with God is one. Do you and God have a relationship? I do not like loud, aggressive women.
Mm-hmm.
That is something that I will not, like, I just cannot do it. I'm a mild-mannered guy. If you want young boy, go get young boy. I'm not a young boy type of guy. I'm not going to match the energy. I'm not going to do it. And I don't like the whole, I don't need no man type of mindset. That's it. Those three things. That's it. And
I don't need no man type of mindset. How much do you think that, men have contributed to the behaviors of men have contributed to that mindset?
Oh, in a major way. I believe that when it comes to women, in America, Western women, they are not taught to be wise. They're taught to be self-sustainable, to be self-sufficient. And they're taught to be independent, to not mm-hmm. need anybody, right? Which is not that makes sense. It's not a crazy thing to, you know, that makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
But what ends up happening is when they try to date or court, they have to willingly learn and walk into their role as a wife. And that is the thing that they can't be forced into that. The get on my program thing that men say, you can't say that, you can't do that. That's not going to translate well. So there's a certain disconnect. Not because women are trash or men. I just think that we're taught different things growing up.
Yeah.
And in order to really have a healthy marriage, you have to willingly learn how to be a husband or be a wife. And people are not only are we not taught how to do that, we're not even willing to put down what we think what's sustained us for 15, 20, 30 years and pick up this new identity with this person that you have to willingly put that down. And that's hard for them to do. But men have contributed in a major way. Because I personally believe that women, they do genuinely want to depend on us in that regard. But I think they've been so scarred by what they've seen and, you know, single parent households watching their mom do everything, you know, and then their own virtual experiences. In a lot of these situations, the women is a more mature one. So it's like men have contributed greatly to that. 100%. Yeah. 100%.
Yep, I think that you hit on the head with the single family homes that were created and where men have willingly created those, the fault lies. You know, there's other instances where men have not had access to the homes for various reasons. Some by nature of the women's attitude and temperament, you know, they just don't want them there.
Yeah,
but at some point, some point you got to stop blaming people for not teaching you what they never knew.
Yeah.
So we're generations into broken and single family homes. And of course they have impact. At what point does the responsibility to undo or to stop it shift? The cycle, that is.
Right.
And again, you can't fault a child for being in a broken home that they didn't create. But it scares me, man, because I have daughters. I have three daughters. And I do want them to be able to solution things. I don't want them to feel like having a man is a sign of weakness or a detractor, or that's just not of importance.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, especially now having a child that has a child and seeing what could be a cycle because that child's father is not around, right? And part of me is bump him. You know what I'm saying? Because baby's going to be good. Baby's going to be good, but baby's going to have a hole. And yeah. that will be exposed at some point. And some days I have a lot more. It hits harder than other days. Like, because, you know, I know the child's going to be fine. It's going to be loved. I'm in no rush to get her out of the house because I want that stability to be the foundation. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, you know, that conversation has to be had.
I am sorry to hear that, though, about the absence. You know, that's...
Yeah. It's not exactly it is what it is, but it happens more. It makes me think differently about how women see the world when I'm seeing it transpire in my house.
Right under you.
Right. And there's no level of anger or violence that will fix it.
Yeah.
In a meaningful way.
Yeah.
I could be happy for a second, but that doesn't change anything, and it doesn't promote any kind of healing or restoration. What concerns you about life right now? Like what not in terms of intimidation, but well, maybe it could be intimidation, but what concerns do you have with where you are in life and its experiences and what you believe you're prepared to handle?
Not squandering the opportunity and the blessing that I have. I've told you this behind closed doors, but my life has been very, very up and down. Like it never seems to even out. And I believe I'm at a unique place in my life where I'm finally getting to a point where I can see things evening out, not being complacent, not overstaying in a season where God doesn't want me to stay too long. Not that, but I just mean a center of spirit, a center of balance, a center of gravity, a center of, you know, just comprehending where I am, what I need to do to keep myself in a perpetual state of peace and mindfulness and awareness. I think I'm getting to a point where my life is shaping out to where that is finally achievable, and I don't want to mess that up. That really does concern me.
So it makes you nervous?
Makes me, yes, extremely nervous.
How much have you depended on chaos throughout your life?
Man, I've depended on chaos a lot. Because I've never even been asked that before. That just hit me differently. A lot, if I'm being honest with you. Not that I need chaos, but if chaos does ensue, I'm comfortable enough in chaos to survive. And I'm more comfortable with that, or I was more comfortable with that than going for what I believed I needed to go for in order to change my situation. Mm. It's like I'll just stay in this safe space, even though I know chaos is closer in proximity to this than the growth is to this. And so I kind of leaned on that when I had nothing else, or seemingly nothing else.
So it's through that context, do you see any missed opportunities in 2024?
Oh, a lot. Yeah.
Any you care to talk about?
Yeah. People opening doors for me, people giving me the keys to the kingdom. and me not being able because of my lack of preparation, because I didn't have things set up. I believe I squandered opportunities in 2024, not by doing anything in 2024, but I squandered them way back in like 2021, 2022, when I didn't take certain things serious, my growth, my finances, my self-awareness, things like that. And that's why now I have such a different appreciation for where I am, because I know now that, bro, in 2024, you lost opportunities, but you lost those way back in. Like, this is a journey. It's not as simplistic and clear cut as this happened in June. Now July, here's the result. No, this happened back when you were 25, 26.
Right.
And you have not grown from that, from the habit that came into being from that one action or when that season. And now you're squandering things. So
where do you find guidance? Like, who helps you navigate, if anybody? And of course I'm asking through the lens of fatherhood, because that's kind of the, how the show is framed.
Yeah.
But, I just learned to appreciate my father, not necessarily this year, but definitely after when I hit 40. And then some of the health challenges that I'm seeing now are common in my family that I didn't know.
Yeah.
And, I'm actually a year younger than his father was when his father died. And we were having a conversation and my dad said, you know, the way you're trending now, and I don't think it wasn't malicious. My dad just, he doesn't sugarcoat. He's not the guru guy. He doesn't talk to you harsh, but things kind of fly out. Then it's like, we could have taken 5 seconds to kind of pre-process that. It may have come out different. But what he said was, you know, I wasn't having a great day and the challenges were challenging. And he said, you remind me of how my father looks as he was expiring.
Wow.
And.
Wow.
It's like, man, that's probably
heavy.
True. Probably one of the harshest truths I've heard in my life. But I didn't want to hear that. And I couldn't discredit it or discount it, because that part of life hurt him more than anybody that I know. Like, he lost his father.
Yeah.
So he was telling me another thing about my dad. In another conversation that we had on the show, he admitted that he never mourned the loss of his father or his grandmother or his mother that died in 2019. His dad died when my dad was 21. So I never met him.
Okay.
But they say I look just like, I've seen some pictures. I do look kind of like him, but they say my mannerisms favor him.
Okay.
So if these are the things that I'm hearing, and now this was his path, and I'm a year behind that, I'm like, was that really what you wanted to? He wasn't saying it to scare me. He was saying it out of concern.
Yeah.
But his face, his expression never changed. Because we were on FaceTime. I was like, man. But for those that couldn't see, this is a home studio. So the home sometimes homes. My daughter is making an exit with my grandbaby, and I can't not say something to my grandbaby. So y'all are welcome. But yeah, I kind of hijacked your answer. I was trying to give you time to think it was a real moment for me, but like, how do you get to guidance?
Man, if I'm being honest with you, and I do not want to admit this, but I really don't have any kind of father figure in my life right now. There is no father guidance, if I'm being real with you. And I really don't want to admit that on camera. But I have, you know, I say it all the time. I have OGs, and it's my way of saying I have men around me that I trust with my life, with my mind, with my problems. But a legitimate father figure, I don't have that. That guidance, I don't have that.
Are you open to it, or is it, no, let me not even lead the question. Are you open to it? And know that I will press you based on your answer.
It's okay. Am I open to it? I am. I would be, it would be hard for me to go from having no father figure mm-hmm. to having one, because there is rapport, there's time, you know, there's things, there's certain, you can't just insert a father figure. Mm-hmm. It has to be mature. That you have to earn the right to write to speak into someone's life in that capacity, you know. But I'd be open to it, yeah.
So here's the press. I am open to it, and you switched it just at the end, so I don't really have you where I thought I had you. You said I'm open to it. Open mm-hmm. That's a definitive statement. And then you immediately shifted to future tense, conditional. It would be. I would. It might be.
Yeah. I had to sit and think about it for a minute.
Yeah, so are you, is it a disdain for the role because the role didn't happen as you thought it should in your life? Or are you like, what scares you about it?
Scares me. I don't know how I would handle having a father figure in one man that I know I should have with a man that I genuinely want it from. Mm. That is tough for me. And I don't even know if that would be fair to the man who would try to be the father figure, because I think I would battle internally with always comparing and contrasting. I would always battle with, not, I don't want to speak that, but into existence, but I believe it would be, as I'm thinking through it right now, I don't know how I would handle that disillusion of, man, this is what I need from my father, but I don't have that. This should be coming from my father, but it's not coming from him. While also trying to ingratiate a man into my life in that role, I don't know how I would take to that. You know, it'd be tough.
So it sounds like you mentioned earlier you found, and I'm going to reframe it a little, reshape a little bit. You found comfort in the status between you and your dad. Now, you don't necessarily want it to be this way, but you found comfort. You kind of let things be as they are, mm-hmm. and you come to some acceptance. But you also have a need, a desire for that type of guidance. And you're conflicted because where you want it, you can't get it from the source that you want it from or think it should come from. So only you suffer as a result of that. How are you with that?
I block it out. I can't really, it's difficult to answer because at the end of the day, you know,
another day starts.
Yeah, at the end of the day, the day has to end, and another day starts, as you say. And so
that's the backpedal phrase of the year. we gonna leave that in 2024. At the end of the day,
you're right. The thing is this. To answer your question, how do I handle it? Because I haven't given it much thought. It's something that I'm being serious. I intentionally block that out. You know, whenever I do meet a man that is integral, is a believer, things like that, I don't even, in my mind, I don't put him in the conversation internally of, man, he would be a great father figure. I don't, because how do you even tell a man that I want a father figure, I want it to be you? Or how does that conversation come about? Is that something that, you know, so I don't even think that's something that I would say to a man, you know, so it's like,
I don't think it's something, sorry to cut you off.
No, you're good, you're good.
See, I didn't say not to cut you off, because I cut you off.
You're good.
But I don't believe the conversation is actually necessary before it happens. I think that you see something in a man that are desirable traits, and you want to place yourself around those desirable traits.
Right.
The father picks up on that. Like I know when some young cat sees more in me than just or or what have you, or the cool guys I may think that I am. And I've had some young guys that I was in that role with where we never discussed it because I was like a young father and they may have been a young kid or a teenager. They've told me within the last 3 or 4 years, you know, you were like, I looked up to you like that.
Yeah.
And I realized that I looked up to other people as father figures because I couldn't have every conversation, but I had a great dad.
Yeah.
There were limitations based on what he saw.
Yeah.
And replicated it and where, how far beyond that he was able to push in his lifetime. And, you know, me being of the temperament that I was.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's a, I don't think it's an interview. I don't think it's an application process. I think when you see something valuable in terms of, competencies and the way they carry themselves and things like that, you just, you find a way to be around them. And then you pick up things on it. And whether you had a conversation or not, you're gaining life skills from that person in a very intentional way. So something to consider. And, that, and it was to put you on the spot, but not necessarily to for you to flesh it out in this session.
I needed to hear it.
You know, maybe 18 months, we'll see where we're at.
Yeah.
But I appreciate you actually acknowledging that and sitting in that moment. So, you know, time is creeping on us. And what are your I don't necessarily want to say takeaways from this conversation, but what are your takeaways, whether it be inspired by this conversation or just from 2024 and what you've reflected on? Because we're in that season now, right? Last month of the year.
Everybody's reflecting.
Yeah, everybody's reflecting. Everybody's starting to draft their next year goals, which is another 30 days of procrastination of, I can't stand New Year's resolution. The dumbest.
Not your thing?
Live your life, but it's like planned procrastination.
Yeah.
At today, I realize I got a problem.
Right.
But I'm going to wait until 31st to say what I'm going to do the day after, and nothing happens. Nothing changes overnight.
It lasts like, 4 or 5 days.
Nothing changes overnight. Anyhow. What do you want to lead the people?
Man, embrace the journey, embrace all parts of it. I have in my life tried to embrace the positive parts of the journey and ignore the negative parts or try to circumvent the negative parts. Almost as if they're not one and the same, you know? And I think people do that a lot. They want the positive. They want the flowers. They want the harvest, but they do not want to get on their dirt. I mean, get on their knees and toil in the field. Right. And, I actually have realized this year, and I hope people take this away, that it's the tough moments and it's the moments that we pray the most to get out of that grow us the most.
Mm.
And that's something that I've learned the hard way a couple of times this year. So, and that's why I have a lot more peace now than I did when I began this journey, because I finally accepted that the hard times, the trials, tribulations, the losses will come. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Not because God wants to pick on you or me or anything like that, or, you know, the world is against you, the universe hates you, knows life. Things happen to everyone, right? But if you can reframe your mind to see the journey differently and accept all aspects of it, then it'll be a much more peaceful process for you, day in and day out. And that's what I've learned.
Dope. That aligns with where I am on this health journey. I mentioned that my father's had health challenges, but some of the challenges that I've had, my dad had as well. So I made a post probably a month or so ago. Said when I was young, I never understood why God would allow my dad to go through such sufferings. But now as I'm going through sufferings, my dad has become my best friend. And the caption was, "Your wilderness experience is rarely just for you." So as you were talking about fighting to get out of those moments that are uncomfortable, God probably has you there for you to learn, but also for you to be a beacon and be a lesson to those around you, whether you know them now or not in your season of suffering. Great conversation, man. As always, I appreciate you. I appreciate your thoughtfulness when you're speaking, and it comes through on your lives and just every conversation. You're a very thoughtful person, so it's always refreshing to talk to people that care about what they say.
Thank you.
Not necessarily reforming or reshaping everything, but know that what they say matters in wholesome weight. You got anything that you want to highlight? Anything coming up? I know you were doing some traveling around with different live events, and you had an ebook at one point, right? You still have a book?
Yeah. I'll be honest. All that's being reframed and restructured. Even the touring and the traveling.
Okay.
So at this point in time, man, I am on the drawing board or back to the drawing board as far as what I really do want to do with 2025 and beyond. Not even New Year's resolution, not that kind of thing. But
a plan is different from a resolution.
Yeah, it's definitely me going back to the drawing board. And because I think 2024 was just me doing random things. And even when since the beginning, I just did what I love to do. There wasn't much structure. There wasn't much business implemented there. There wasn't like an actual plan in place.
Gotcha.
And I think that's also one of the things that made me stall a little bit in 2024 and become, you know, distracted because there was no plan. So I'm back to the drawing board with everything.
Gotcha. So, yeah. Well, like, share, and subscribe, because I didn't say that in the first couple of minutes as I should have. Y'all know I'm terrible at that by now. Love Keisha J for my wife's first release of her children's series book.
Congrats.
First book from her children's series.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So it's very thoughtful, very good reviews. My wife is dope. Very dope. Very dope. Love Keisha J Studios for her wearable art. She makes jewelry. She makes everything that you can think. Clothes, home goods.
It's only right. Okay.
Very high quality. So check all of those things out. The DearSonPodcast.com is where you can find out what's going on with me if you want to get some merch. I think that'll do it, man. We appreciate you guys. God bless you. Peace.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app.
Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores. Making the switch is easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift.